I'm going with that bad man, Tom Brady, Teflon Tom, going for number 7, winning MVP, Bucks, 31-27. See y'all on Monday. Oh, you know what it is. Stick with your girl. Good to have me on your side. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to First Take. Thank you for being with us. My fella's looking clean on a Super Bowl Monday. Max Kellerman, I'm Molly Karen Rose, Stephen A. Smith. Yeah, how we doing?
I'm all right.
We got a lot to talk about today.
You sure do. Yeah.
All right, let's get it. 7 rings, 7 for TB12. More than any franchise, yes, not player, franchise in NFL history, the undisputed GOAT, reminding us why age ain't nothing but a number. Huge congrats to the Bucks. Tampa, talk that talk.
It's been an amazing year. Amazing year. We got off to a good start, 7-2, and then had a little rough stretch where we kind of found our identity and played a lot better football down last December, January. And just really proud of all the guys, proud of all the coaches, the effort we put in. We knew we were playing a great football team tonight, and we got the job done. So you want to get this far, you got to get the job done, and we did it.
His leadership is off the charts, and he's a winner, man, and that's all you can say. He brought a winning mentality to a really talented football team that didn't know how to win.
Mm-hmm. All right, Stephen A., listen, mm-hmm. I might have got the Bucs score right, but I certainly didn't get the Chiefs. Right. Were you surprised by the beatdown that took place?
No, I was shocked. I was absolutely shocked. I picked the Chiefs to win this game. I knew that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would score over 30. I knew they'd find a way to put up points because I wasn't that enamored with Kansas City's defense. But I certainly didn't expect Tampa Bay's defense to do what they did. To get pressure on Patrick Mahomes, to pressure him on 32.7% of the snaps, I think that was the number, to sit up there and watch him scrambling for his life. You only blitzed about 5 times. Mm-hmm. So with your front four, you were getting at him. This kid, Devin White, was an absolute monster. He was an absolute monster. And this kid, Levante David, if I remember correctly, helped smother Travis Kelce. We got to give credit where credit is due in that regard. But I'm shocked because even with all of that being said, even with trouble on your offensive line at the right tackle and the left tackle, I don't give a damn about any of that. To be held to 9 points for the Kansas City Chiefs offense to not even get in the end zone one time, it was an absolute positive beat down. They got beat down. They got their ass kicked.
Yeah.
Period. I'm going to say it. It needs to be said. And let me tell you something right now. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect that at all. And I got a call last night from 2 people. I was literally told to give credit in hour number 1 to somebody and then the other person hour number 2. So Charlie Mack is going to have to, I'm going to have to pay homage to him in hour number 2. Hour number 1 right here to start off the show, Hov himself, Jay-Z. You, okay. You make sure you tell the world, I told you that the Buccaneers was going to stomp them. Not only did he predict a win, he predicted a blowout.
Real okay? Recognition.
And I ignored him and shoved him aside.
Jay gets, Jay gets the first hour.
Jay-Z gets hour number 1. It's yours. All right. I pay homage. I bow down. He predicted a beatdown. And I was like, you know what? Listen, something wrong with you. Something seriously
hope
wrong with
money
you.
On.
But he ended up being absolutely right. You know, he probably did, but he don't need it. So, obviously. I mean, this is what it is. I didn't expect this, Max. I didn't expect it. And major, major props. The MVP of this game was Todd Bowles.
Yeah,
the defensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay. But he was the MVP of the game, and I think the only reason why the defense itself didn't get the MVP award is because there were so many dudes that were so great on the defensive side of the ball that you couldn't have just one definitive person to give it out. Otherwise, they'd have got the MVP over Tom Brady. But in the end, that's what this comes down to. They deserve a lot of props. They were dominant, and they played smash-mouth football and flat-out punked the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's what happened.
You mentioned White. Shaquille Barrett could have gotten it, too. Barrett could have gotten it, too. I'll say this. I was not expecting it. I expected Mahomes to be Superman and the Chiefs to win, but I did think he'd need to be Superman to win. And I can't say I'm shocked by the blowout. It reminded me, as the game went on, of the Giants-Ravens Super Bowl, where the Ravens had this dominant defense, and a couple things didn't break early the Giants' way. This is going back 20 years now, and it just snowballed. The refs made a couple ticky-tack calls on hold and PI that, you know, I don't like in the Super Bowl, but it wouldn't have, in the end, it wouldn't have mattered. But that shifted things at a time where, oh, wait a minute, They could have the interception and possession down a score, and now all of a sudden they're down two scores, stuff like that. But this is why I'm not shocked. And I was talking about this not only on this show, but also on the radio show, Max Kellerman Show, 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN.
2 p.m.
Radio.
To 4 p.m.
Great listen.
2 p.m. to
great
4 p.m.
Well.
Yes. Time. Real right.
Yes, thank you very much. It was a mismatch on the line of scrimmage. A mismatch on the line of scrimmage. And Brady's not going to do you any favors like some of these other quarterbacks that Mahomes has faced in comebacks where they start making mistakes. He's going to cut the mistakes down when he needs to. The mismatch on the line of scrimmage was the entire thing. Todd Bowles, everyone's saying he's the MVP. It's true. But let's be honest. You know the key to the whole game is get pressure with four. You can. It's not that the Chiefs' offensive line was playing badly. They were playing as well as they could, but they were physically overmatched. They were missing three starters, four offensive linemen altogether, and both starting tackles. And they're going up against Shaq Barrett and JPP, and in the middle, Vita Vea and Ndamukong Suh, plus those linebackers. It was a mismatch. So how big a mismatch? You mentioned snaps. How about dropbacks? Mina Kimes had it last night after the game on Twitter. He was pressured on over throughout the game, 50% of his dropbacks, but they only blitzed.
I think it
blitzed.
Was 29 times the most in Super Bowl
Yeah, out of
history.
56, it's yeah. over 50%, but they only blitzed when they, under,
five times.
Under
yeah.
10%.
Five times.
Right,
five times.
So you blitz under 10% of the dropbacks, mm-hmm. but you get over 50% pressure. And then on the flip side, on the other side of the ball, it was just the opposite. I said the Bucs offensive line, and they had a few guys missing off the line in November, and they didn't look so great, but they've been healthy. They were a top five offensive line all year. And the difference in protection, Tom Brady had a clean pocket, had zero pressure on him all game. Stephen A., how does it go? He had time to do what behind the line of scrimmage?
You know, pick up the phone, call his wife, tell her what he wants for dinner, do all of that stuff before he even threw a pass.
If you give Tom Brady that, he is going to kill you. And on the flip side, Mahomes was running for his life
yeah.
all game. So I can't say that I was shocked, because mismatch on the line of scrimmage is probably the best indicator of who's going to win the game. I just thought Mahomes somehow, some way would figure out a way back. And I thought it would be a comeback. And in fact, the broadcast, they kept mentioning it. The Chiefs got him right where they want him.
Yeah.
Don't worry about this. But it wasn't that kind of party. That Bucs defense destroyed the Chiefs' banged up line of scrimmage, offensive line, dominated the line
of
scrimmage.
Listen, you can point to the line of scrimmage all you want to, and I'm not saying that's false, because obviously that's a component in all of this. But I recall Tyreek Hill dropping a touchdown pass. I recall Travis Kelce dropping a key first down pass. I recall McCole Hardman.
Yeah.
That's right, on third down. I recall McCole Hardman being a virtual no-show. Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to be a significant X factor in all of this. And, oh, by the way, the few times that Kansas City actually tried to run the ball, they ran it relatively effectively, but they didn't stick to it. And then we can debate a couple of things. And I'm certainly not saying that this dictated the outcome, but Andy Reid and his son getting himself in trouble. You never know what kind. People pointed to that distraction. They looked ill-prepared. They looked ill-prepared at times, and we got to pay attention to that as well. Again, that's not the predominant factor. I'm in no way trying to imply that. But I've had, first of all, at least two or three of Brady's former teammates text me last night, and at least four Hall of Famers.
Yep.
Every single one of them, not me, every single one of them brought up Andy Reid and what happened with his son and how this team was distracted coming in. Then they had to travel there on a Saturday while Tampa is at home.
Yeah.
All of these things could have contributed.
Other factors, though. The punter, there was questionable calls.
Don't get me started with the rookie punter and him shanking the punt. Don't even get me started with that. And then you could point out the questionable calls. But here's why it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because they got beat down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
It's like, Max, to use your boxing analogy, it's like somebody stepping into it. There's a difference to you getting caught with a punch and, you know, you win it. You Tommy Hearns and you fighting Iran Barkley and you just get caught. It's a difference between that and William Joppy running into Felix Trinidad and just getting annihilated.
Every round.
It's a different thing.
I agree. And
that's what happened to Kansas City last night. They got beat.
And that means
that
the interception that was taken back,
yes.
PI, all that stuff. In the end, you show either you're resilient or you're not. You have to overcome those things.
Right.
So I'm not even focusing on that. But I do want to say something about people focusing on Andy Reid and his son and the distraction. It's not revisionist history. Let's be honest about the Chiefs. This is the sloppiest dominant team I can remember in the NFL.
Yeah.
Going back to the loss against Brady with the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, The game is over. Right. Brady threw an interception. It's over. Defensive pre-snap penalty. You hand the ball back to Tom Brady. And then last year in the playoffs, he had a double-digit deficit in every playoff game they had to overcome. So it's as though the Chiefs were kind of sleepwalking, especially early in games, through this whole run, and then they just turned it on.
Yeah.
They could not turn it on against the Bucs.
I'd say the line more so than Andy Reid. I just want to mention this quickly because you talked about in the past he's had to come back. This was the first Super Bowl ever he scored a touchdown in the first quarter.
And then Tom Brady.
Yes, and then the 22-point margin. That's the largest victory in his 7 titles. But at the end of the day, he got it done. The guy's the undisputed GOAT. You'll debate that later. I won't. Patrick Mahomes was 4 of 12 passing on third down for 46 yards, 0 TDs, and an INT. For the entire game, he had 0 touchdowns and 2 total interceptions. It was not his night. Patrick.
They beat us pretty good. The worst I think I've been beaten in a long time. I wasn't getting the ball out on time. The receivers were running routes not to exactly where I thought they were going to be at. And the offensive line, they did good. They were good at sometimes, and sometimes they let guys through. And when you're playing a good defense like that, you got to be on the same page as the offense, and we weren't today. And that's why we played so bad.
Max, tell me this. Do you think his Super Bowl performance hurts the legend of Mahomes? Because we're all going crazy for him. Best we've ever seen. He's the future. Yada, yada, yada.
No, I think if anything, it enhances it. Look, the fact of the matter is, I saw this on, I want to say CBS was quoting Next Gen Stats. Mm-hmm. You know how much he ran behind the line of scrimmage last night? 500 yards almost. It was a little under 500 yards.
Yeah.
The dude
running
was
for
on
his
the
life.
Run
yeah.
for his life.
Yeah.
And guys, let's be honest about Mahomes. Stephen A. had made a reference to one of them. He hit two receivers in the face in the end zone. Two receivers got hit in the face with the ball in the end zone. One of them was Tyreek Hill. Look at this play. Honestly, this play right here is one of the best passes, even though it was an incomplete, I've ever seen.
Yeah.
This is in the Super Bowl. His body was parallel to the ground.
Yeah.
He wound up hitting the receiver in the face. No, Mahomes did.
That is unreal.
He did supernatural things, and the one to Tyreek Hill was all. It wasn't that, but here, the one to Tyreek Hill was awesome. Look at this. He hit him in the face.
No one's questioning his arm.
So, right, but it's not just the arm. It's the fact that he never panics. He's escaping the pocket. He makes great decisions. The fact that he wasn't getting the ball out fast was not about Mahomes being slow to process information. I mean, yeah, they were playing the two high safeties all game, whether they were in zone or man-to-man, all game. They were not going to let anything deep. Mahomes was making good decisions. And by the way, he was delivering the ball accurately in improbable circumstances, escaping pressure where the play should have been over, actually using his legs to create time, keeping his eyes downfield. Guys weren't catching the ball, and sometimes they just weren't open. Mahomes, I thought, was, if anything, added to his legend, but Superman was not enough yesterday. They needed something more than Superman.
That's a damn lie. He ain't add to no legend. Not last night. He ain't add to any legend. If you recall, Molly,
yes.
On numerous occasions, I've sat across from this man, whether literally or figuratively, virtually, digitally, whatever the case may be.
It's a pandemic.
Be a satellite. And I have said, what about the weapons? Yeah. Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Mecole Hardman, et cetera. Well, guess what? The question was answered because when they struggled to get open last night or struggled to catch passes, how did Patrick Mahomes look? He did not look good. He did not look good, Max. This defense was surreal. If you recall, we saw a beatdown similar to this when Seattle, the Legion of Boom, put it on Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos. They were up by 29 in like the third quarter. The Legion of Boom was stronger. They were faster. They were quicker. They were more physical. They were playing smash mouth. And what did they say? They talked about how Denver would engage in the trickery. You know, sneak plays, trick plays, et cetera, et cetera. All that gimmicky stuff. How do I remember this? Because I know my brother Cam Chancellor. He and I spoke after that Super Bowl. He was like, yeah, you know, it's about attacking your fears. Peyton Manning could instill fear into a lot of people, but it wasn't in us. We were going to go at them, and we were going to dare them to play that kind of smash-mouth football. We were going to get in their face. What did Devin White say post-game last night after going against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs? This is what we were going to do. We weren't giving you anything over the top. We were going to make you methodically go about the business of beating us. We were going to keep you in front of us and dare you to play some real damn football. What happened? Kansas City was thrown off kilter. Now, of course, offensive line, we know that. Of course, I pointed out how Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce dropped pass and Mecole Hardman couldn't get open to save his life. I got all of that. All was basically ignored. Why? Because they said, we're not going to blitz you. What we're going to do is we're going to send four after you. And, oh, by the way, if you're Patrick Mahomes, what are you doing? Your first option is Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce. Your second option is Tyreek or Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill. You're not going to have but so much time to get to your go through your progressions and to get to the third or fourth option. We're daring you to try to pull that off knowing that you couldn't. And in the end, what it comes down to is this, Max. Even though we still recognize Patrick Mahomes being the great quarterback that he is, but the issue is the GOAT. All of that stuff is over. It is over. Because here's the deal. It's not just about seven Super Bowl championships to one. Forget all that. Here's what it's about. No matter what you do in your career, you lost to the man considered the GOAT who beat you at age 43. We will consistently remember that encounter.
The big hill to climb, but we're going to debate that later in the show.
When we talk about it, we're not going to talk about he lost because Brady has lost.
We're going to get into that.
Later in the show. This is what I say. This is what I'd say. The reason you can send four all game is it was the same as a blitz, only no one was open. They couldn't stop. Like, it's one thing to say, well, what is Mahomes going to do when his guys are covered? And he has no time to throw the ball. What did he do? As I mentioned, he hit two receivers in the face, right in the face, in the end zone with passes. Does he need to catch the ball too? The fact of the matter is the offensive line really not being there. They didn't have their starters, their best players on the line.
Fisher, Schwartz,
That, to me, that's the story of the game. Those guys, Fisher and Schwartz, are not just there okay because they're the best guys on the line because they play the tackle positions. As I keep mentioning, Mitch Schwartz was all NFL, all second team NFL for the decade, according to Pro Football Focus. Fisher was a number one overall pick. He's been to multiple Pro Bowls. These guys are Pro Bowl caliber tackles that were gone. And it was going against a great defense, the offensive line. So they were completely overmatched. Mahomes was pressured more than any quarterback in the history of the Super Bowl, and he was blitzed almost less than any quarterback in the history of the Super Bowl.
But what I'm saying,
what do you want him to do?
Listen, what I'm saying to you, Max, is I am not refuting your points if the issue is that they lost, because we understand that wasn't his fault. I'm saying that when you're Mahomes and people are bloviating about you to the degree that they have, you can't go into the Super Bowl and get destroyed. Tom Brady has how many Super Bowl losses does he have on his career? I believe it's three.
Yeah.
He lost to the Giants 17-14.
Yeah.
He lost to the Giants 21-17.
Yeah.
And he lost to the Philadelphia Eagles 41-33 when he threw for 505 yards.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that when you look at Mahomes right now, never questioning his greatness, understanding the Elways have lost, the Peyton Mannings have lost before, Brett Favre lost before.
Think about what you're
saying. When you get beat down.
Think about what you're saying for a
second. That doesn't get glossed over.
Think about what you're saying for a second real quick. Tom Brady, in that first Super Bowl loss, scored 17 points,
mm-hmm.
right? He had Randy Moss.
17, and 14, I think it was.
Maybe it was 14 points. 14. Right, 14 points. 14, that's right. Because
yeah.
before the game, he was saying, we're only going to score 17 points.
And
perplex the guy. And he laughed at him, right? I used to play that on New York radio all the time. If you would have scored 17, you'd be in overtime. 14 points with the greatest offense ever. That was the greatest offense in the history of football to that point. They were undefeated through the season. Wound up with 14 points. Mm-hmm. That's so much worse. I mean, that's so much better. Hold on. Than Mahomes with 9 points with no offensive line?
Nope.
The fact of the matter is Mahomes can't play defense.
To be continued, guys. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2x miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
He's a legend. He's a winner. He's a good leader. One of the best human beings I know. Even a greater football player. I can't speak enough on what he's meant to me.
I'm just blessed to be next to this man. You know, he's the GOAT. He is the greatest football player to ever play. You know, and I can tell my kids I play with that man, and I'm just blessed.
It's been amazing to have Brady come in and lead us to the Super Bowl champs, man. Like there's nothing else to be said. Brady, there's nothing that he can't do. New team, new scheme, first year, going to the Super Bowl and winning it all. Like, he's the GOAT for sure.
By the way, I just want to mention Leonard Fournette, heck of a game. He'll be on the show with us tomorrow. I can't wait to talk to him. Dan Orlovsky's in the building. And Dan, you know I have love for you, but I don't even know your wife, and I like her more than you. Everyone, please go look at Dan's Instagram, and you can thank me later. We will leave it at that solid video.
I was so mad, Molly. Oh, I was so mad.
Oh, my God. I know. Cry, baby. All competitive. Oh, my goodness. But I can tell your wife something special. We'll leave it at that. Stephen A., let's go back to the GOAT talk. Did Brady finally put an end to it, even in the future? It's all said and done. Brady's the GOAT. No one's ever going to take that away.
I think so. He's going to go down as the most celebrated quarterback in the history of the National Football League. And I think that, again, you know, I say it's over for Patrick Mahomes, and only in that regard. We all know that Patrick Mahomes is phenomenal. We know he will be back. There's no question in my mind that as long as he's healthy and he's at the quarterback position for the Kansas City Chiefs, they will win Super Bowl championships in the future. I sincerely doubt it'll reach 7, but more importantly than that, we're going to look at the fact that when he went against Brady, Brady took him out. Okay, Brady is going to end up being the MVP. Max just went on the soliloquy the previous segment with a lot of things he had to say about the two in comparison. And what I'm saying to Max is what Max has said on many occasions about everybody else, and you can validate this. It's not that your information is wrong. It's that at the end of the day, ain't nobody going to be thinking about that. Like, for example, you're a Giants fan. A Giants fan. Die hard. And you didn't even remember that New England scored 14. You said 17.
Right, it was 17-14.
I'm just saying, yeah. You didn't even remember. But you remembered, of course, that the Giants beat the Patriots. I'm saying to you that when it comes to Patrick Mahomes against Tom Brady, we're going to remember that they got beat down. The particulars is going to escape a lot of people in the future. What we're going to remember is that Brady won and won Super Bowl MVP, and Patrick Mahomes lost and lost convincingly, spent most of the day running for his life. And so when you look at it from that perspective, and it was a beat down that took place before the world, that is not something that gets glossed over. It's something that you can ultimately overcome in terms of people still appreciating your greatness and what you mean to the NFL and that you're the future face of the NFL or whatever. But even though Brady's won now four rings, I mean, I think he's won like three or four rings since the age of 37. Since the age of 37.
He's won three since I made the Cliff prediction out of the last 5 years.
He has multiple after 40. That's all I know.
Don't bring that up. Don't do that to yourself. But in the end, what it comes down to is that when you get beat down like that, and it's at the hands of Brady, people are going to remember that. Those other details, while definitely accurate, is not what folks outside of Max Kellerman and the Dan Orlovskys of the world and others are going to recall.
What you just said is real talk. That's as the kids say. I don't know if they're kids anymore. Everyone says real talk, right? Yeah. Isn't that old? No one's saying it in real talk anymore. I say it all the time.
The point is,
that's real talk. That's actually what is going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, do I think that means the door is shut? I don't. And let me tell you why. First of all, there could be a rematch next year. Or the year after, the way Brady's going, right? They're both on great teams. It could happen. And if Mahomes gets him back, if they blow them out, if the Bucks have problems on the offensive line next time, something like that, then it'll cancel out. Still, he'd have a big hill to climb. The fact of the matter is, you may be right, and he's not catchable. Whatever you want to say about the color line in baseball, the consensus in baseball is Babe Ruth's the greatest player who ever lived. He played in the teens and 20s of the last century. Mm-hmm. Sugar Ray Robinson's the greatest fighter who ever lived. He fought in the 40s and 50s. Michael Jordan, basketball, 80s and 90s, right? And they still stand. So it could be that Brady, we're just witnessing Brady, that's going to stand 50, 100 years from now. One thing I got to say, though, LeBron James. When LeBron James went to Miami, not two, not three, not four, he lost the first one to Dallas. They were favored, and he choked. He didn't want the ball in the fourth quarter. Four different fourth quarters. He abdicated that responsibility. They lost. The Jordan ship had sailed at that point, according to people like me. And I'll still say that. And yes, we're going to look at the score and say that's a blowout. But did Mahomes actually play poorly? Like, as I said, he hit two receivers in the face with the ball. He had iconic plays in that game that we'll be looking at highlights, you know, decades from now that weren't even receptions. Like, we're going to look at him parallel to the ground throwing that ball like the Odell Beckham catch, and it wasn't even a catch. No, it wasn't Mahomes, the way LeBron didn't want it. It was the team around him. And I'll say this, LeBron's in the GOAT conversation. He's it. Look, you want to deny LeBron's in the GOAT conversation? There's a generation of people. It's like 50-50 almost who think it's LeBron or Jordan. I may disagree with them, but to say LeBron didn't get back in it after he lost that first one against Dallas is not true. He's won five since then. No, LeBron's in it, and if LeBron got back in it, it's not impossible for Mahomes.
All right, Dan, you played quarterback. Talk to us.
I have no idea if Max actually answered the question. The conversation
How did
over.
I not answer
Tom
the
Brady's
question?
The GOAT.
Tom I just
Brady's
said
the GOAT.
He's you just untouched. Said, does it put an end to
he
all talk? I
caught.
Said, no.
He will not be caught. First of all, Tom Brady's got seven now. He's got seven. All other active quarterbacks, including Drew, who's going to probably retire in a couple weeks, Drew Brees, they've got eight. So he's got one less than all of the other active quarterbacks in the NFL. He went to an organization, guys, that had the worst winning percentage in the history of the NFL and hadn't been to the playoffs in a dozen years, and then just won the Super Bowl and kind of did it relatively easily. They had the hiccup in the season where they were poor for a five-week stretch, absolutely. But then he goes on the road and beats three Hall of Famers, three of the all-time greats. He goes on the road and beats Drew Brees. He goes on the road and beats Aaron Rodgers, and then he beats Patrick. We agree Patrick will more than likely be a Hall of Famer. I mean, this dude, not only did Tom go win his seventh, Tom won his seventh and went on the greatest Super Bowl run a quarterback's ever been on. I mean, think about that. He threw for 50 touchdowns this year at age 43. It's so hard to do what he had. It's so hard to link up with the coach and the organization and take the pay cut with the salary cap for that stretch that he did in New England. And then when the other team decides that they don't want to keep you per the price or support you per the play, have the opportunity to go somewhere like he did and completely reshape. I mean, think about the guys that scored last night. Leonard Fournette was cast off, but he wanted to go play with Tom Brady. AB did a lot of it on his own. People didn't want. Here's a second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth opportunity because he wanted to play with Tom Brady. Gronk came back, and I thought, no shot Gronk ever plays in the NFL again. Gronk comes back. Why? Because he wanted to play with Tom Brady. I mean, not only is the best ever, he's the greatest believer in ever, and he might be the most impactful ever. Listen, I love Patrick. No one raves about Patrick more than me. The conversation is now over. He will not catch Tom Brady.
It's unlikely that he will catch Tom Brady because it's like as though LeBron lost that series in Dallas to Michael Jordan. Then how would, like, you know, but if LeBron rematched Jordan and beat
Max,
him,
he ain't
LeBron,
catching him.
And LeBron Dude, went on to win five or six championships, he would have a generation of people saying he's better than Jordan.
It's not happening. And let me throw a different kind of analogy there, Max. In 2002, my man Will Packer, producer extraordinaire.
I know Will.
Know, huge,
yeah.
Huge Tampa Bay fan and what have you. He just texted me a few minutes ago. Here's the deal. When you look at think about what Tampa did in 2002. They go out, they go all in. They go out and they get John Gruden. All right, that's one parallel. Mm-hmm. Then they go and they beat the Eagles. I was at that game, the coldest game I've ever been to. I had to cover that game for the Philadelphia Inquirer. I looked like I was 300
pounds. Hope you had a chinchilla.
And the snorkels and everything that I had on, it was ridiculous, okay? All right, they finally beat the Eagles. They got over the hump. And more importantly, there were distractions along the way. If you recall, when they won that Super Bowl against the Raiders, Barrett Robbins, he sits up there. He's upset that the coach, Bill Callahan, decided to game plan and go away from the power running game, which to him was his bread and butter. That's how he became a Pro Bowl center and what have you. He was distraught, depressed, leave the hotel, go out, get drunk, do drugs, prostitutes, all types of stuff. I mean, it was crazy what he did, and they couldn't find him for the Super Bowl, okay? So the All-Pro center was gone, all right? What happens this time around? Andy Reid with his son, that news comes up. That's percolating Super Bowl weeks. The parallels cannot be denied, but guess what we still remember? John Gruden had two winning seasons in his last six years in Tampa Bay, right? That was a Super Bowl championship season. Ever since then, they had no success. But John Gruden leaves, is in the Monday Night Football booth, and is relevant to this day because of what they were able to do with that one Super Bowl. And that's a coach. So can you imagine what this is going to do for Tom Brady, who had six rings before he walked
right
into yesterday's
game? Right, my point is, hold on.
And then to now do this?
My point is, you're right. That's why, in terms of it being unlikely, which is why I brought up Babe Ruth 100 years later, people still think he's the greatest. Nice. Probably was. Sugar Ray Robinson, it's been 60, 70 years. He's still the greatest. And 60 or 70 years from now, we may still be saying that about Brady. But I will remind you, LeBron James was out of the conversation permanently after the loss in Dallas, and he got his way back in.
Max?
So if Mahomes winds up beating Brady at some point down the road and winds up with five Super Bowls or something like that, he'll be in the conversation.
Why don't you just quit? Why don't you just quit First Take right now? You've been raving about Jordan being the greatest, as have I. In other words, we don't believe LeBron
is there.
So that's
why that point is.
So why are you saying that? Yeah. We don't believe it?
Because I'm addressing your point about what people will remember. You're saying it's disqualifying because he lost to him head-to-head and people will forget the details. But those same people have embraced LeBron. Many of them.
Most people,
as the greatest who ever
most
lived.
People who embraced LeBron weren't born when Jordan was playing.
He'll be in the conversation
Max,
as second to Brady, just like LeBron's in the conversation as second to Michael Jordan. That's facts, Max.
Well, I would say this. Jordan, if Mahomes' peak is considered higher than Brady's as an individual performer, he doesn't need to catch him with numbers of Super Bowls. So long as he's competitive there, if he has a handful of Super Bowl wins, and at some point he's going to have to beat Brady head-to-head, the fact that his peak will be perceived as higher could push him over the top.
No, this is...
Why not?
In football, in team sports, when it comes to all-time greats, whether you like it or not, they are going to be measured at the quarterback position by how many Super Bowls they win. We talk about Aaron Rodgers all the time as one of the most talented ever, but one of the questions, if not the biggest question tied to him, is why has he only won one? No matter how the talent or how remarkable his statistics have been, that will be the same.
Terry Bradshaw has four Super Bowl rings and a cannon for an arm. No one ever calls him the greatest of all time, and no one did back then either.
Max, the only reason is because Terry Bradshaw respectfully played over like 40 plus years ago, bud. Like a lot of people that talk about sports weren't alive then.
But Johnny Unitas had that title for a long time.
They were 8-year-olds. Max, he will not catch Tom. Tom has 7 Super Bowls. He has to win 6 more to even get into the conversation.
Unlikely.
In an era where the salary cap is going to continue to be fought, no one is going to do what Tom did and take less.
Tom might also win another one.
Nobody's going to do it the way that Tom did that.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma.
Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod, and have a fabulous day. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See you later, like next year's Super Bowl. All right, Max, a big storyline this offseason was regarding the Patriots' success. Was it more Brady? Was it more Belichick? Well, Belichick missed the playoffs, and Brady just won another ring. So what should we think about Bill Belichick today?
Oh, it raises questions about Belichick. It just does. Mm-hmm. I know that Brady left the cupboard bare. I made that argument. And I always thought it was more Belichick. I was sure it was more Belichick. Mm-hmm. But now I have to admit, I have to wonder, was it in fact more Belichick? Clearly, I wasn't giving Brady enough credit. And even though Joe Montana went to the right situation in Kansas City after the Niners, including with the coaching, and got him to the AFC Championship game. See, he's not a system quarterback. It's not just Bill Walsh. Brady just won the Super Bowl in year one. Now, were the Bucs loaded? Yep, they sure were. Everywhere you look, they were loaded. Okay? Did he leave the cupboard bare for Belichick? Was he coaching under very difficult circumstances? And still did a nice job, 7-9? Yes, he did. But we don't have 1,000 seasons to play out. To run perfect experiments to see who was who. This is pretty much as good as you could ask for. Brady's on a new team. Belichick's coaching without him. And by the way, if anything, the coach has the advantage because when the coach is older, he should still be good. Brady's 43. So the answer, does this affect Belichick's legacy? The answer is yes. He has to now win without Brady. He can't just, oh, that's a good coaching job. He went 8-8 this season. Nope. He's got to make deep playoff runs. He should win a ring without Brady before all is said and done, or his legacy, the great debate, is it more Belichick or Brady? Shockingly to me, will be won by those who said, no, it was more Brady. Yes, this is a big deal.
It's a big deal, but not for Bill Belichick, the coach. I have no questions about Bill Belichick, the coach, because in the sport of football, it takes more than just a quarterback to win it, as we learned last night. Mm-hmm. You consider what happened on defense, you consider what happened on special teams, and you have an overseer that allocates responsibility to other people, the people he picks to put in charge, whether it's offensive coordinator, defensive line coach, linebackers coach, quarterback coach, et cetera, et cetera. You're the head coach, you oversee all of that, and Bill Belichick is a 6-time champion as a head coach, a 2-time champion as a coordinator, a guy that's been to 11 Super Bowls in his career. I refuse to insult that man by questioning the coach that is Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, the GM, however, is an entirely different conversation. You could have had DK Metcalf or A.J. Brown instead of somebody like
N'Keal Harry.
Like N'Keal Harry. You could have had a Damian Harris, for example, who's been impressive, instead of a Sony Michel who can ball. I'm not trying to knock Sony Michel. When you look at the quarterback position, forget the Jimmy Garoppolo deal, because we understand that. I'm sorry, I think Jacoby Brissett at this point in time in his career is better than Cam Newton. You could have still had him, somebody who was better, younger, fresher legs, not beaten up. Age and attrition hadn't kicked in, and on top of it all, he was familiar with the New England system. All of those things come into play. And when you don't have those things at your disposal because you've made a decision as a GM, that is bad enough. But when it gets incredibly egregious, y'all, is when, as I reported and I told you last year, Tom Brady would have stayed if he believed he was wanted by Bill Belichick. owner Robert Kraft would have found a way to make it happen if Bill Belichick has shown enough respect and enough affection for Tom Brady to let him know you're wanted, you're valued. But that was not the case. So Tom Brady was hell-bent on going elsewhere to prove what his value was. And when you listen to these guys on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers speak about Tom Brady, it's not just guys on the offensive side of the ball. It wasn't just Leonard Fournette. It wasn't just Antonio Brown. You talk about Shaq Barrett. You talk about Devin White and others. You talk about Ndamukong Suh, who was interviewed by Greeny this morning on Get Up. And you see, you talk about the coach that is Bruce Arians. And you hear everybody collectively speak about the leadership ability of this dude and how he galvanizes everybody. What you have is a coach who's also the GM in New England that selectively decided to ignore that component. In other words, this is my program. We're going to do it my way. The hell with all of that. And when you do that to somebody that old who's produced for you and somehow you missed the leadership component that he brings to the team, and now he's able to squeeze out whatever somebody else has left in them. Then you think about Gronk, who wanted to retire and was shivering on stage one day talking about, you have no idea what I was going through. But now not only does he come back, shines in the Super Bowl, but says he ain't thinking about retiring. They look like they're
having fun. Brady, the GM, is pretty darn good, too. And he brought back Leonard Fournette, all these players. All 31 points that were scored by the Bucs guys were all players that were not on the Bucs in 2019 who went 7-9. And they all came to play with Tom Brady.
But if you're an executive and your responsibility is to identify and then allocate responsibility to somebody else and you miss that, that's bad.
All right.
That's
this conversation to be continued. Brady, MJ, Gretzky. Did Brady prove he's the greatest in team sports? The fellas are fired up for this one. It's with heavy hearts this morning that we report the passing of our ESPN colleague and friend, Pedro Gomez, who died unexpectedly Sunday at the age of 58. Pedro was an ESPN reporter since 2003 and one of the country's foremost baseball journalists. I want to tell you a story. When ESPN covered the Rays' historic 2016 trip to Havana, Cuba, Pedro shared his family history, returning his father and brother to the shores of the country they had fled for a better life. Take a listen.
I feel incredibly honored to be able to fulfill one of their final wishes now and leave them here in Cuba, their ashes. The only way I could bring them was in these baggies, but I know neither one would have minded that. It's not a fancy urn, nothing like that. But I know right now they're loving this. They are absolutely loving this.
Incredible moment, Max, to use your expression. Pedro, I knew him personally, was salt of the earth. Gone far too soon. Prayers are with his family. We'll be right back.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.